Galatians chapter 5, if you'll stand, if you're able to. We'll begin at verse number 16. So important, folks. What a gift. What a gift the Holy Spirit is to each and every one of us and to the church collectively. And so let's listen to what the Bible says about the Spirit and the fact that it will war and always will war against the flesh. I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. Verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Heavenly Father, some very practical instruction, dear Lord, I think waits for us tonight in the message. And Lord, thank you for all that we've heard. So much has already been stirred. Lord, we've had such a wonderful morning. And as we focused on the resurrection and all that that means and all that made available to us, we just rejoice in it. And then, Lord, the testimonies and the singing and everything that we've heard tonight, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would take our full attention and focus it on the preaching of the Bible now. I believe, Lord, that you have something very good for the church tonight, very helpful for the church tonight. So, Lord, may we be willing to receive it. And Lord, may we take it to heart and cherish it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm going to use this title tonight, Holy Spirit Activity, for the message. Holy Spirit Activity. Oh, preacher, what does that even mean? Well, it's a term that I heard in Alaska this past week at the end of our men's retreat, and a term that I've repeated two or three times as people have asked me about the services up there. The end of the men's retreat, I had a man come to me, and he said to me, preacher, and I've never heard it put quite this way, but he said, I sensed a good deal of Holy Spirit activity over the course of the weekend, and I had to agree with him immediately. And that's not always judged by the response at the invitation, folks. And I sometimes feel like preachers fall into that trap a little bit where they feel like God really did something if there's a big altar call, or he didn't do much if there wasn't. I could tell you that most of the evidence of that was not at an altar call, although the altar calls were great. But it was in the interaction with the men before the services and after the services as one after another. And I mean this, folks. I would say well over 15, 18, 20 different men came to me having made a decision that you could tell was very emotional and very real and very meaningful in their lives. And that's, listen, folks, it's not just being moved. Come on, there's a difference between being moved and being changed. I mean, you can be emotionally moved about something and it lasts just about as long as it takes to get to the car. But when the Holy Spirit does something in your heart, it changes some things. And so I heard this term, Holy Spirit activity. I then preached the message or the revival service for Brother McGovern. And again, many members of his congregation, by the way, two different young men attended the revival services who had been prodigal And two different young men that had been prodigal made a decision to come back to the Lord. I mean, folks, to even see one of that happen in a ministry and to see two in a single meeting, I believe we saw some real Holy Spirit activity. And so I couldn't get away from that phrase, and I began to think over it and pray over it the rest of the week. And let me just say this. You know what? We ought to all have as a goal at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, if we can find a unity on anything, we ought to say, may we, each and every one of us, contribute to an environment that encourages Holy Spirit activity in every service of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, it's one thing to desire it. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to want it. It's another thing to know how to produce that, or at least to how to create an environment where the Holy Spirit is welcome and the Holy Spirit can do his work. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about this tonight. I want to give you some practical ingredients that I think are our responsibility to provide to the Holy Spirit. And then, folks, there's some things that the Holy Spirit does in his time and in his way that me and you don't have a thing to do with, okay? And that's all up to his good timing and his goodwill as he works in each of our lives. But I do want to remind you that there is a conflict that's always gone on, and it's lined out for us in the scriptures here, that we have to make a choice. Are we going to live in the Spirit, or are we going to live in the flesh? Are we going to walk in the Spirit, or are we going to walk in the flesh? Are we going to try to serve God in the Holy Spirit's power, or are we going to try to serve God in the flesh? Because the one thing that the Bible was clear on in this portion of Scripture as that is this, in verse 17, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So you have to make a choice. You can't decide, well, I want to do part of it in the flesh and part of it in the Spirit, and act as if that's going to work out. And so one of the things that we have to take the responsibility of as Christians involved in a local assembly is to make sure that the flesh is not a part of what we try to do for the Lord. And so how do we construct an environment here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? And a lot of this is going to be real practical teaching. I'm going to read a lot of the scriptures for you. I remember Brother Howes used to get up when the pre-service had gone long, and he'd say, I want you to know I'm very much aware of what time it is. However, in about 2 minutes, I will no longer be very much aware what the time is, but I am aware of the time. And so I'll read portions of the scriptures to us tonight. But folks, don't miss this. Because if we ever decide we're going to switch over from being, come on, dependent upon the Holy Spirit to do the work of God, and we decide we're going to enter into the flesh to do the work of the Lord, it cannot be done in the flesh. These are contrary one to another. So what's our responsibility? Well, first of all, as a church, we need to make sure that we're providing the Holy Spirit the songs that he needs in order to feel welcome in the church house. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Very interesting. After the command to be filled with the Spirit, the subject of music comes up immediately. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about constructing an environment where the Holy Spirit feels welcome. Folks, when we begin to follow the pattern of the modern church and the progressive church, and we decide that we're going to start bringing in the devil's music, come on now, and throw in a few phrases about Jesus here and there, come on, may this place burn to the ground before we ever have an electric guitar on the stage. May it burn to the ground before there's ever a set of drums on this stage, folks. And what we need to do is to make sure that we are singing songs. Now, I want to have the attention of everybody here, singing songs. that are spiritual songs, that isn't ministering to the flesh and exciting the flesh of men, but are ministering to the newborn spirit of those that are in attendance. So we need spiritual songs. You know what else we need? We need something the Bible calls the sword of the Spirit. It says, when it talks about the armor of God, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm just giving you quickly some ingredients here, okay? Then I'm going to give you some real practical advice at the end, then we'll go to the house. You know, folks, I want the Holy Spirit to feel welcome, and I want to produce an environment where He is welcome and empowered and is not hindered or grieved or quenched in any manner because of what we could be doing as we supposedly worship the Lord. And so one of the things we want to do is make sure that this book has a premier place. Come on, the preaching of the Bible needs to always have a premier place in our ministries here. The teaching of the Bible during the Sunday school hour. The teaching of the Word of God in our Wednesday night Bible study. Amen. Bible study is a good thing. Prayer meeting and Bible study is still a good thing. And then on Sunday morning and Sunday nights, the preaching of the Word of God. If you're looking for a church where you're going to come just to be entertained, then this isn't the one. If you meet me at the back, I can send you to some of the rock and roll and churches and women getting up in skimpy apparel and being a worship and praise team while they make a shame of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about creating an environment where the Holy Spirit feels welcome. It also, along with the presence of the Bible, needs to be Spirit-filled preaching. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and my speech, Paul said this when writing to the church of Corinth, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we're talking about constructing an environment. Let's have spiritual songs. Let's make sure the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. Hey, don't start leaving your Bibles at home. All right, everybody ought to be walking in with the Bible. Preacher, I don't have one. See me after church. You won't be able to say that by the time you leave here. If you let me know, you'll have a Bible. We've given away thousands and thousands and thousands of Bibles. About to give away a bunch more next Saturday, amen. And so we want you to have the Bible. But there needs to be Spirit-filled preaching. And then number four, there needs to be what the Bible calls the unity of the Spirit. Now listen very carefully, folks. It's one thing to have the right songs, and I've been in churches where they're singing the right songs, and they are carrying in King James Holy Bibles, and there is Spirit-filled preaching. But wait a minute. If you're not careful, this is where the devil gets in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How do you keep that unity in a church? The unity that the Holy Spirit wants to create in a congregation, it has to come with lowliness, and it has to come with meekness, and it has to come with long suffering, and it has to come with forbearing one another in love. And I like what Brother Duff, and I heard him say a couple years ago when I was at Bible Baptist in Fairbanks. He had received some new members into the membership there. And he said, I'll tell you folks what I tell everybody. If you're going to join Bible Baptist Church, he said, be sure that you show up every Sunday with a 5-gallon bucket of forgiveness and a 5-gallon bucket of patience, okay? Bring your forgiveness and bring your patience with you. And I think that was good admonition to all of us. And then there also has to be a refusal. Come on, an individual choice in each of our lives. A refusal to in any way grieve the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Say, preacher, why is it that there's some places where there's more Holy Spirit activity than others. Come on, we're getting down to it, folks. I think the music's great, and I think that you're bringing in the right Bibles, and hopefully you're praying for your preacher to be Spirit-led, and I'm surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and there's Spirit-filled preaching, and we keep the unity of the Spirit, but wait a minute. Every single one of us has the ability, if we're not careful, to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How does that start? Look right up here, the verse before I already read it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know what will grieve the Holy Spirit faster than anything? That thing right there. That thing right there. So we've got to be so careful and so wise how we use our tongue as we are in church and as we are out of church talking about each other that attend church, amen. How about this? Let all bitterness. Hey, are you listening? If there's bitterness and you're allowing it in your heart, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And wrath and anger and clamor. Here it is again. Evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. How about this? What do we replace it with? And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so we have to be very much aware that each and every one of us have the potential to be grieving the Spirit of God. Come on, we walk into the church house and we're harboring bitterness. We're harboring malice. There's jealousy. There's envy. Come on, we spent time on the way to church gossiping about other people in the church. Do you realize that all of that, whether you understand it or not, when you walk in with those sins active in your life, you are limiting the activity of what the Spirit of God can do in the service. Folks, we got to stay clean. Amen. Come on, don't look all spiritual on me like that's never, none of these have ever been a problem in your life. It's a problem in all of our lives. But we need every once in a while. Come on, you need your pastor every once in a while to bring these things to your attention. Say, you better checklist your heart, folks. Because these are the kind of sins that creep in and we can make excuses for and we can do and we can laugh it off and we can act like it's not a big deal. But if enough of that leaven gets in the church, all of a sudden we realize it's been a long time since we've seen some genuine Holy Spirit activity going on at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And then nothing should be done that would quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, a little short command here, quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, by the way, written to a local New Testament church. This isn't written to a lost person who's quenching the Spirit activity in his heart as far as trying to get him to salvation. This is written to church members, which causes me great pause and to realize we not only have as Christians the ability to grieve the Spirit of God and what he's trying to accomplish amongst us, we can literally quench the Spirit of God. And come on, I've been out there enough and I traveled just enough and I've been just in just enough churches that I could stand up here and call churches names if I was mean enough. And I spent no time there. They want me to come in and preach a revival and act like, you know, Jerry Ross is going to bring revival in his briefcase. You've been there before, Brother Fair. And you know what? There's so much quenching of the Holy Spirit of God in that church that if you have any spiritual sensitivity, you're up there preaching your heart out. It's like wading through molasses and nobody's prayed and nobody's got ready and nobody's willing to get right and nobody wants to change and all kinds of nonsense and wickedness going on. Well, folks, listen to me. I can tell you right now, I might as well pack my bags and go home if there's not a change of heart. I don't want that to be Blessed Hope Baptist. By the way, all of this, I don't think, preacher, what problems do you know about you're trying to fix? I'm just trying to say, let's take a look tonight, folks. I think we're in a good place. I don't know. Sometimes it's hard for me to judge. I will tell you this. I do not think we are experiencing the level of Holy Spirit activity that we ought to be allowing God to be able to do in our church services. An important month. Next Sunday's a big deal. What if God wants to do this much next Sunday and we hinder him to where he can only do this much. And so let's checklist this tonight. And so spiritual songs, sword of the spirit, spirit-filled preaching, unity of spirit, a refusal to grieve the spirit, nothing done to quench the spirit of God. Let me give you some practical advice. I'm going to give you 10 things, okay? You're panicking. Don't worry. Here we go. Number one. Listen, this will help you. And this type of thing, if you listen to this list, I'm going to go through it quick. You listen to it later on during this week. You need to. Please take this serious. Please take this serious. If you're sitting right there thinking to yourself, I'm sure glad he's hitting this because I know exactly who needs it. And you're thinking of someone else. You're the one that needs it. You're the one that needs it. Number one, maintain an unhindered relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Well, let's take this week and just make sure nothing between my soul and the Savior. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Is there anything, Holy Spirit, that I've allowed in my life that's hindering my relationship with you? Let's be really honest this week, because I think that God wants to do some amazing things in the month of April here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Number two, keep your heart right with the other members of our congregation. Keep your heart right with the other members of our congregation. Sometimes, folks, boy, the devil's so good at taking little molehills and turning them into mountains. And like I said, hey, you know what? Why don't you just remember, grab 2 5-gallon buckets, bring a 5-gallon bucket of forgiveness and a 5-gallon bucket of patience, and just decide you're going to attend a church with that attitude. Okay, keep your heart with another man. I'm talking about this. Hey, you know what? Maybe between now, right now, tonight, and next Sunday morning, there's somebody you need to go to. Yeah, that's good. There may be somebody that you have an ought in your heart against. There may be somebody that you've withheld forgiveness towards. Hey, you know what? Let's get that cleaned up. Come on, church. Let's get it cleaned up. Let's get it right. Because we don't want to hinder what the Spirit wants to do amongst us. Number three, bring with you to church a friendly and welcoming spirit. A friendly and welcoming spirit. Now think about that. I mean, folks, we had visitors in our services this morning. Hey, look right up here. Such a busy morning. I get it. I don't always get to all of them, but it's rare if I don't. But it's rare if I don't. You know why? Because I make it a big priority. Can I say something to the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you not be offended? All right, because you're not going to be, because if you are, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Shame on you. But, you know, Sunday morning, forgive me, folks, but Sunday morning, if there's something that can wait till Sunday night, don't grab me before the service or in between Sunday school and church or after the service and corner me. Do you realize so many times I'm trying to be kind, I'm trying to be nice, I'm trying to lend an ear, but there are first-time visitors all over the place. You are paying no attention to that. I'm trying to pay attention to that, but I almost have to offend you to disengage myself. We ought to all be on high alert on Sunday mornings. Okay, and if it's an emergency, come talk to me. But if it can wait till Sunday night, let it wait till Sunday night. By the way, if it can be handled in a text, text me. All right, well, I don't text. Well, okay then. Then use smoke signals or whatever you do, okay? Whatever your great level of spirituality allows you to do, all right? And so, you know what? Why don't you bring a friendly and welcoming spirit? Not a how can I make it about me spirit? How can I keep all the pastor's attention on me? But why don't I look around and say this could be the only time some of these people walk in this church service? And not only am I going to miss them and not even care, I'm going to see that our pastor misses them. And so what are we doing here after a while? Come on, folks. Number four, sing out during the congregational singing. Sing out during the congregational singing. Folks, listen to me again. We see that the fullness of the Spirit and speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Those are all those things are tied together. We've always been a singing church. Let's not start dropping the ball. Amen. Brother Nathan had to get after you a couple times a day. I thought you were doing pretty good. I really did. And this morning, I got to confess something. During the cantata, and I came back with a little bit of a head cold, but I really thank you for praying for me. My voice stayed strong. I was able to preach, and I mean preach, 13 times in 8 days, and then started in again on Sunday morning. I appreciate all the prayers, but I did come back with a little bit of a head cold, and I'm sitting on the front row, and I'm thinking, man alive, the choir's just not, they're just not singing out. They're just not singing out. And then I swallowed hard, and both ears popped. Boom! And all of a sudden, y'all went from about that much volume to that much volume. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with them singing out. I just couldn't hear them, you know. So, they were doing great. They were doing great. I just had something in my ears. I don't know what was going on there. But to sing out during the congregational singing, let me tell you something. That says, choir, listen to me. I'm going to tape you one of these days. I'm going to videotape you. Okay. Adria, you know what? Everybody needs to watch Adria sing in choir, right? Lillian. Sorry, I do that. Amen. A-B-E-L. Did I spell your last name wrong? That took me 10 years, okay? So, sorry about that. I gave your older sister credit here. Just watch her sing. You know what? She's borderline enjoying herself up here, amen? Now, we don't want her to get too crazy. She'll be charismatic next thing you know, but, and some of you are balancing it out. Don't worry. I love it when you're talking about the love of preaching. You're singing about the love of God and the joy of the Lord, and I know it's because Brother Bud has you all so scared, you know? You're concentrating so hard. I've got to hold this note out just right, and you're concentrating, but hey, you know what, folks, listen. Come on now. If we're going to sing, let's sing as unto the Lord. And there's got to be a point in time, especially those of you that sing specials, you ought to be practiced enough that you don't have to be so focused, come on the mechanics. That comes from practice, where you're not so focused on the mechanics that song becomes a part of your heart. And then all of a sudden, it's not just sung from your mouth and your brain, but it's sung from your heart. And there's a joy of the Lord that touches. Come on, I'm telling you. You need to work on that. Let's do it right. Let's sing with a Holy Spirit anointing, okay? Number five, when you sing a special, be careful in both your selection and performance of the song you choose to sing. Right. All right? We're not going to go the way of the progressive church. You're not performing for mankind. This isn't American Idol. All right? You need to sing as unto the Lord. And you need to make sure that you're ministering to the spirit of the reborn spirit and not trying to energize the flesh of both yourself and those around you. Number six, baptize every activity in prayer. How do you create the right spirit where the Holy Spirit's walking? Baptize every activity in prayer. Now, what does that mean, every activity? Well, we want Holy Spirit activity, so maybe we ought to baptize every activity in prayer. And preacher, I'm just an usher. Then you know what? You ought to be a praying usher. I'm just a Sunday school helper. Then you ought to be a praying Sunday school helper. I'm just a junior church bouncer. Then be a praying junior church bouncer. Okay, there's not some small job. Everything's a big deal if it's done for the Lord. And so baptize everything in prayer. Everything in prayer. I'm talking about it would be good to have prayer in the PA booth before the service. Okay, because, you know, that's a big deal. That's an important job back there. As ushers are here early. And nursery workers are here early. All right, nothing worse than having visitors standing back there with babies. And I'm making excuses why there's no nursing home. Amen. That's where working in the nursery will put you eventually in the nursing home. But are you thinking about it? I mean, you know, what we do here is for the King. For the King. Come on, there's CEOs all over the nation. And they're building successful companies because they do everything first class and right. Why? For filthy lucre. And they show up early and stay after it. And they dot all their I's across all their T's. And they do it right and first class so they can make money. And we're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So think about that, all right? Baptize every activity in prayer. Number seven, pray for your preacher as he prepares to bring the message. And I mean that. I won't come up here. I promise you, I won't come up here not prepared. I just made up my mind a long time ago. One of the most important things that I do around here is the ministry of the word and prayer. And I'm not going to cheat you, and I'm going to put the study time in, and I'm going to come to the pulpit. I promise you this. I'm going to come clean, and I'm going to come seeking the anointing of the Spirit. But that doesn't mean that the devil's just going to set off on the sideline and not battle the preacher. And so pray for your preacher as he prepares to bring the message. Number 8, listen to this. Good advice, practical advice. Keep distractions to a minimum during the preaching of God's word. And by the way, our church does a great job about this, but I haven't mentioned this in a long time, and I probably need to say something about it. You know, folks, thank you, dear God. I want to thank you for being so sensitive to the importance of when the preaching is going on. And come on, young people, there's Sunday school. Between Sunday school and church is an opportunity to go to the restroom. And you know, you'll see a bus kid, they don't know better, and they'll get up and go back to the bathroom, and you'll never hear your preacher say anything. And by the way, if it's an emergency, anybody that gets up, I'm never going to call you out. I'm never going to embarrass you. But I sure appreciate a congregation that realizes when the preaching starts, this is important. And if I'm up and down and running this kid out and that kid out, and if you'll notice, this going to the bathroom thing does have a domino effect, I'll tell you. Especially most of the bus kids, you know, one goes and all of a sudden the next one needs to go, and next thing, next, and it just gets to be a party. I mean, you know, so, but not only not getting up and down and in and out, but also be very careful that you're not doing anything that would distract people from listening to the word of God. And parents, I got to say this, you're doing a great job with your kids. And every once in a while, you're going to have that kid that's at that certain age where you're training them. And again, your pastor's rooting for you. I'm thankful for you. You're doing a great job. You may have a service where they're just a little rambunctious. You're never going to hear me say anything. But I'll tell you what, training them to understand the importance of preaching. And to understand that is not the time to cause a disturbance. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't very old when my mom and dad got saved, but they got that through to me at a very early age. That if I decided that it's time to, you know, play the fool or act up or be a little stinker during church, let me tell you something. The great white throne judgment was waiting when I got home. And I appreciate that because I grew up having parents that taught me that the preaching of God's word's important. I remember my dad one time talking to us as we were traveling home, and the three of us boys had been a little rambunctious, and he said, "Do you know that sitting behind us were some first-time visitors? Do you know that some of them may have only, that was the only chance for them to hear the gospel? And you three were misbehaving and distracting them. What if the devil used you this morning to keep them from hearing how to be saved?" Boy, you talk about quiet in the back seat of that 1966 Buick station wagon. That was quiet then. It wasn't quiet later at the house, but it was quiet then. But he made us think about it, all right? All right, so think about these things. And number 9, be tender to the Holy Spirit's direction during the invitation. And, you know, you've heard your preacher ask this question, but, you know, it's good for me to say this. It's a good mental exercise for us. You know, I say sometimes if there's been somebody's family member we've been praying for years, and all of a sudden they surprised the family and the church and came in, and they sat in the service on a Sunday morning, and we all knew that they weren't saved, and your preacher got up and preached a crystal clear gospel salvation sermon, how many of you would hope that they would listen to the Holy Spirit and obey the Holy Spirit to walk the aisle and get saved? Come on, let me see your hands. I know it's a trick question, but you're just going to have to go with it. I often say this. Why would we expect a lost person, to do what Christians refuse to do? And if the Holy Spirit can't stir your heart, and you're too proud, and you can't humble yourself to sometimes come forward in an invitation, why do you think a lost person... And by the way, couldn't that be the quenching of the Holy Spirit of God? So think about that. Number 10, we're done. Ask God to help us all to have the fruits of the Spirit. Think about this. The fruits of the Spirit on full display each and every Sunday here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, we read them. Remind me, preacher. All right, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to produce these fruits in our lives, and they're on full display from the time we get here to the time we leave, don't you think that would sure make it easy for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do each and every service? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do and all that you have done at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, I sit there and listen to those testimonies and was able to read the letters. And Lord, I think about the key moments. I remember when Paul Chapman got saved. I remember when Stephanie Studer received Christ. I remember when Caleb Hall walked in and looked at me and said, "Hey, I got saved this week, preacher." I remember baptizing some of these kids. And the Lord, I'm sure thankful that there has traditionally, historically been a group of spirit-filled Christians here that have been willing to come to church, say no to the flesh, put the things of the flesh aside, and really, really focus on making the Spirit of God comfortable in this place. And Holy Spirit, we know that you don't talk much about yourself at all. Your job is not to bring attention to yourself. Your job is to point people to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But we sure are glad that you're here, and we sure are glad that you work amongst us. And forgive us for times when we have grieved you and maybe even quenched you in our lives. Forgive us sometimes for coming in and we're so us-focused that we fail to see the people around us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that this message, just real quick checklist tonight, this message would help stir some things. And Lord, may we do some inventory within our spirit, within our soul, over the course of the next week. Lord, we've got some pretty amazing things planned. And Lord, we'd like to see some Holy Spirit activity next Saturday from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock during the different outreaches. We'd like to see some Holy Spirit activity in the Sunday morning service next Sunday morning. And so, Lord, may not a one of us bring any hindrance to that. We pray these things in Jesus' name.